our arch enemy Satan. And I think that many believers have failed to understand how powerful this particular person is when it comes to deception. It says that he is more subtle than any beast or creature of the field. That means he can slip into your life and you don't even know it. And then when he strikes, you're aware of his existence. But most of the time we find that it's too late. And it's sad to know that he has that power to deceive. But thank God for the Word of God. Because if we learn how to handle the Word of God skillfully in our life, we can rise to a place where we won't remove his ability to attack, but we sure will be in a place of complete protection that belongs to us through the Word of God. Amen? And whether you realize it or not, Satan has a passion, a craving to gulp down whom he will or whom he can. And a lot of times, we don't realize that there isn't any of us that is not vulnerable to some degree. But yes, there is a place we can go in God where we can have complete peace, where we can rest in Him. No matter what hits us, we can rest in Him. Well, boy, nothing could have been more fitting than that prophecy for my message this morning. So if you will, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And go to verse 26. Verse 26. Everyone there? For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. And the next verse I want to read to you out of the Greek, and of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom to us from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, the term glory, for those of you that don't understand that meaning, I need to clarify that. When we say glory, the glory of men, we're talking about a man's, natural man's strength that has appeal. It's talking about when you look at a man and he has some strengths about him, that you would have a tendency to follow those strengths. How many understand what I'm saying? They would influence your life. They would have an impact or an influence on your life because there's a strength about their life or there's a glory about it that would make them want to be just like you. Arnold Schwarzenegger, there's a glory about him. Not only his physical appearance, but also his position of prestige. And so people vote for or against him, simply predicated on the glory. Now, whether he qualifies or not as the governor of California, we don't know. But we know that there was a glory about him that put him in a real good position to take the office that he took. Amen? And so when we follow men or the glory of men, we more than likely will miss the glory that follows Christ. Now Christ has a glory within himself, a strength, a proven history that is powerful. But the thing about that history, was not so that he obtained a position, but whosoever should believe in him would also obtain the same position. Because we are joint heirs with him. And one thing Satan does not want you to have is success in the glory of God that is in you. And see, none of us really think of ourselves as having any glory. But everyone in this place that's blood-bought, born again, called son and daughter, son and daughter of God, brought into the kingdom of heaven, you're part of the family of heaven, there is a glory that is in you that natural man cannot understand. It is a glory that far exceeds or excels the glory that was in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, it was this glory God could hardly wait for over the glory that was. For if the glory that was had any glory in it at all, God couldn't wait for that glory to be done away with so that the glory that now exists in us is what He longed to obtain for. Whew. So I want you all to say with me, Father, I thank You for depositing within me a glory of the risen Lord. Father, may I give glory back to You as I grow and excel in the kingdom of God. Woo. Glory. Glory. That prophecy today was talking along those same lines. You see, we're so caught up in looking at our own strengths, we seem to forget. Even though you're looking at your own ability, your own strengths, there's a strength within you that far excels that. But if you keep your mind on that, that natural glory, that natural strength that you have, you're going to miss the ultimate glory that you have. Christ in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you. But it's getting it out of you. Satan's number one goal is to get into your life in such a way that you lose interest for the kingdom of God. He doesn't want you on the cutting edge. He doesn't want you daily thinking of Him, daily meditating upon Him, daily being on fire for the Lord. He doesn't want that. Matter of fact, He's designed the whole operation of His kingdom, to neutralize the Word of God in your life, because that is how you'll find the glory that is within you. He'll do everything He can. He'll see to it that when the Holy Spirit speaks, you won't be present. He'll go ahead and take a little here and there and get you under the Word of God. But His main goal is for you not to be consistent with the Word of God. Whether it's in your church or whether it's in your home. He hates believers that stay consistent with the Word of God. And the thing is that we don't realize that He goes about seeking to know you. One of the operations that He has is familiar spirits. You know, my son Tim, it's very interesting. He said he saw a vision one time. We were out there. I guess we had a music seminar. Tim, are you here? Yeah, he's here. Forgive me if I don't tell the story right, but Tim said that he was in the foyer and he looked over at one of the tables and he saw this monkey-like little thing looking at one of the music sheets. Is that what you were? Or how was that? Yeah, and he said that this monkey-like creature was looking at, I guess it was one of the brochures on our music seminar or whatever was going on, and he noticed that when Tim saw him, he scattered and disappeared, and the thing fell on the floor. I got news for you. Satan does learn something about people that put an ear to the Word of God. He does learn something about you when it comes to you putting your ear to the Word of God. And one thing He wants to do is draw your ear away from the Word of God. Whether it's in your personal home or whether it's in your church, He wants to make sure you're not at the service that will benefit you the most. Because He does learn about believers that have an ear for the Word of God. You know, I used to cry out and I said, Lord, what is it that causes certain people to lose interest in the Word of God? And God told me, they have the greatest potential to serve it. That's why. Because they have the greatest potential to serve. And that kind of threw me off guard, because you usually look at believers that when they lose interest in the Word of God, it's because they're just complacent, indifferent. He says it's because Satan does come into their life in such a way to get them disinterested in the Word of God. And Mark chapter 4 tells us how he does that. Because when you go to Mark chapter 4, talking about the sower, soweth the Word, it says Satan cometh immediately. And how he comes, I never saw this before, but how he comes is he comes to destroy the operation of the Word of God in you by the ground that you present yourself as. See, and I when I caught sight of that, I went, whoa, because it was happening in me. Yes, your pastor, it's been almost 20 years now, got complacent in the Lord. I was preaching cassette tapes. I was preaching whatever I could get a hold of, rather than having my personal time with the Lord and letting Him speak to my heart what you needed for that week. Are you following me? And I got dried up because of that. Boy, when I started seeking God, God showed me how I drifted away from the Word of God, and I'm preaching the Word. You know, a lot of us are the most self-deceived people on the planet of the earth. And don't even realize it. You know, A.W. Tozer, in The God-Man, wrote in his book, he said, most believers have no idea that Satan is not their main problem. He said their main problem is the arch enemy called self. He says because self gives them no opposition, he generally, as a whole, just gives himself into himself because there is no opposition, and he flows with himself better than anyone. But the minute Satan gives him opposition, then he knows where to resist. But when it comes to himself, he has no resistance. That's why the hardest thing to take is spiritual correction. It is the most hardest example I know of for the heart of a believer. I know I had to sit in my living room one morning and I was crying out to God for the need that I had in my life. And you know how God approached me? It was very interesting. He didn't approach me and say, hey, the devil played a number on you. It's about time you wise up and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. God didn't say that. You know what he said? He said, Pastor Butter, how do you like the fruit on your tree? Didn't even bring it up. Didn't even mention it. And I said, that's hard to look at yourself. It is so easy to look through the mirror, somebody else's mirror, and point your finger at them. But when you have to go into your own mirror and look at that mirror and point your finger at you, that hurts. We'll do everything we can to fight that. Because there's an element of pride in every one of us. We don't want to have to take the Word of God and hack at ourselves. Matter of fact, if people offend us and trespass our life and whatever, the thing that's in you is how you're going to rise up. And if you don't have a heart that is clean before God, you don't have a pure heart operating, watch out. Because your heart will rise up and either destroy you or give Satan a holiday. Notice what Paul said about people's calling. He says, notice there's not many wise men after the flesh. This word for wise is the Greek word sophos, which means special insight or very educated people. People that have special insight, highly educated people. I don't know if any of you watched television last night. I was mesmerized at the curse of the Kennedys. That whole family pursued wealth, pursued power in their life. And as a result of it, they lost their life in the pursuit of that. See? Because their whole mindset had nothing whatsoever to do with the kingdom of God, because after all, they were devout Catholics. I'll tell you what, Gehenna is not only filled with devout Catholics, but it's also filled with every other denomination you can name. If your religion is your salvation is born again. It is not a religion. It is not forming a religion for a place of sanctity. Well, that's Satan's ultimate trophy. Say. But it is a heart change and transformation. So, he says, see, there's not many in the upper crust of very educated, inside, specialized, that turn their life over to God. It doesn't mean that God can't change them. It just means that that kind of mind doesn't have an interest in for the kingdom of God. It has an interest for the world and its power. Then, notice the next one, he says, and not many mighty. This is the Greek word dunatos, which means a position of high authority or offices, great power, rulers of government. You don't find many of them really dedicated to the kingdom of God. Very few. And then noble. It means upper crust of society by natural birth, royalty, prestige. Because these people are not conducive for the kingdom of God. Why? Because when God calls mankind to salvation, He'll take anybody. Right. From the lowest to the highest. Whomsoever will. Yes. Because He provided it for all. But here Paul is letting us know that with these kind of mindsets, their chances of entering into the kingdom of God are far less than those that just seemingly don't have much in life. It seems like just they're just a lower crust of society. And Paul says, see, you're calling. Isn't that a good one on us? See, not many mighty, not many noble, not many. Because you know what? God saves all walks of life. And we're part of that salvation of all walks of life. We're just a part of it. But I'm going to read you some quotes that are so powerful that I want you to get a hold of this. Proverbs 20 verse 5 says this, that counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. This scripture is very powerful because what it's talking about is a man who has the ability to reach within himself and discover through that counsel what he is all about. Because when a man learns how to do this, then he knows where he stands, not only with himself, but with God, and God can begin to make changes in that man. But we don't want to find out about ourselves. When God told me, He says, you're sitting there crying out for an answer to where you're at. The first thing I have to do, Pastor Butler, is tell you, take a look at the fruit on your tree, the choices you've made, not what I've given you. Boy, I'll tell you what, you want to stop the enemy in your life? Discover you. Because when you learn about you, you will cut his ability off. Because God will show you your weaknesses and your strengths. And then God will give you the wisdom that is necessary to strengthen your weaknesses and increase your strengths. That's what He's all about when you come into the kingdom of God. And yet you see believers year after year fall down, pick themselves up, cry out for the mercy of God, the grace of God, and next year they're no further ahead than they were the year before. What is the problem? Well, number one, the fellowship with you and the Lord is not right. It is not right. When you have to sit down and don't see much progress in yourself, then the counsel in your heart is not going deep enough. But a man of understanding will draw it out. And you know what? David was a man after God's own heart. Why? He learned how he could draw counsel out of his heart. He learned how to do it. How did he do it? He said, God, if there is any evil or any wickedness in me, show me. Whew, that's scary. Especially when we have a religious thought that we're doing all right. We're all right. Well, I preach to people. I lead them to the Lord all the time. Sweet little thing. But if you don't clean your act up, eventually what you brought to salvation, you could possibly destroy through your testimony. I've seen men do it. Preach to give God a big high. And yet the same people that they preach to, they've run them off. Here's what God told me. When people explore deep within themselves with God's help to understand themselves, a transformation can take shape in that man's life. Whew. That understanding shifts the person's perspective on all of the interactions in his life. I'll say that again. That understanding will shift that person's perspectives on all the interactions in his life. It will shift your perspective. It'll shift it. Because of that understanding, it'll shift your perspective. In the interactions of life. You'll begin, when God gets in your heart, and His counsel is to counsel you personally, guess what's going to happen? When you have interactions in your life, you will succeed in them, not be destroyed by them. I got His word on that. This makes a person more authentic, which in turn reinforces new behavior. Which in turn enforces new behavior. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. Oh, we're going to learn some good stuff here, huh? Boy, it's quiet in here. Well, you know what? I think we're on the verge of a move of the Spirit this morning. And now the pastor goes into this stuff. Well, I got news for you. This is a move of God for you this morning. It's what He put on my heart. It's your move. Did you get that? It's your move. Now, in Proverbs chapter 4, this is very interesting. Let's go to verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. Hold your place right here, because we're going to come right back here. Hold your place and turn over to 1 John. Some of you must think you already know that book, because you haven't been to my class. I think those that were there got a little shock for themselves. Start asking a lot of questions. But over in 1 John, this is very interesting. It says in verse chapter 4, verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Isn't that interesting? That we might live through Him. But you know what? The Bible is also very clear in 1 John that those that do not walk in the light as He is in the light, it's because they are walking in darkness. and they know not what they stumble. That's in 1 John. And, of course, the entire book of 1 John is our fellowship with each other. And those that divide themselves, those that stumble, those that take offense, are those that are not made perfect or mature in the love of God. But I thought it was very interesting because 1 John, John the Beloved, always brings up this darkness. This darkness. And because of this darkness, they know not at what they stumble. But did you know that when we get over here into Proverbs 4, go back there to Proverbs 4. In Proverbs 4 it says, but the path of the just is as a shining light. Notice, it says the path. The path. The path. The path. It's very interesting. It's much easier to follow a path than try to just wander out in the woods without one. Me and my son were out hunting. And if a path hasn't been traveled for a while, it can get real confusing and you think you're on the path and you're not. But I like walking in the woods when the path is very clear. Amen? And I usually find that as long as I can stay on this designated path, I know which way to go back. Because I got the path to follow. Amen? But notice what he says here. He says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What in the world is he talking about? He says, when a man gets on course with God, things get so, so clear that you couldn't miss. You couldn't stumble. Are y'all with me? Now, notice verse 19. But the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. You know, I figured that there are some believers that stumble over these paths they go down. They stumble over them so much. You figure they'd get a clue. Hey, this ain't the way. But you know what? They don't get the clue. Instead, they're so self-deceived, after they burned up everything around them, they turn around and they blame everybody else rather than taking a look at themselves. I don't know how Joyce Meyer's ministry ever got to what it is, because she cuts you to pieces. She removes all excuses. And I noticed some of the things she said on TV. I noticed that. I never will forget. I wish I had a picture of it. There was these gals on this front row just laughing. And then one of them goes, because she does that to you. She gets you to laughing at yourself. And then you go and laugh about it. You'd be like, hey, wait a minute. She did stab me. With the Word of God. Because she removes all your excuses. Once you remove all your excuses, you find you. Oh. That's a horrible thought. It really isn't. Because when you find you, after being purged by Him, you find out how much God loves you. Hebrews chapter 12 says that. When God can bring a correction to His people, it's because He loves them. When a person doesn't receive correction. And I've seen people leave our church because I preach right to them. I did not. The Holy Ghost preached right to you. You just couldn't handle it. Thought it was from a man rather than the Holy Ghost. Yet it was a way out of your demise. Now notice, my son, verse 20. This is very interesting. Because verse 20 lets us know something. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the center of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Boy, you know what? This Hebrew word for attend means to sharpen your ears like an alert animal. You know, some animals, they are so alert in their hearing. Their eyes may be bad, but their nose and their ears, they can smell and they can hear. A grizzly. Man, they catch you in the wind, they can't see very far. Their sights are not all that great. But I'll tell you what, their nose and their ears, look out. Because they can get to you. You had it, brother. But this, and some of us seem to think we can kick back and have a sabbatical. You don't even know what a sabbatical is. A sabbatical is where you give attention to the Lord, removing all your distractions. A sabbatical means you have chosen out a specific day to sit and meditate upon your Father, your kingdom. We've lost that today because we've learned how the cares of the world can best suit our advantages by we don't really even have to go to church anymore. We got it on the internet. We got it on a DVD and cassette tape. Well, cassette tapes are going history, but way the dodo bird. But, you know, we got all kinds of ways. We don't even have to make an effort. We can just sit at home and just, you know, plug into these little boxes, you know. And oh, what a message. My son, attend. It means be very alert. Sue knows how I am when it comes to the Word of God. I crave it. And if I find a minister open his mouth and just junk coming out, I won't even waste my time with him. I'll shut him down. But certain individuals, man, I perk my ears up and I listen to every word. So much so you can't even talk to me when I'm listening to them because I won't allow myself the distraction. But man, I'll listen to everything they say. There was a young man up there in that church that I was preaching 1 John in. And this guy is a converted Jew. Boy, I caught his attention on the word commandments. I said, they're written on the tablets of our heart. He always wondered about that. He started coming up and through the whole progress of that seminar. He was there every night, and that guy asked questions, and they were good questions. They weren't just some off-the-wall thing. They were good questions. And yet, some of them there, one guy came up, and he says, well, what does it mean over here in the book of Philippians? And I said, I'm not even teaching the book of Philippians. What are you talking about? You said something over in 1 John that put me over in Philippians. I said, no, stay in 1 John. We got to struggle through the 1 John thing without you thinking about Philippians. No power of focus, no concentration. And more the American people are getting that way. We want ready-made sermons. We don't want none of this deep stuff that flies over our heads. We want just simple stuff. As a matter of fact, we want the ultimate Bible that interprets everything in the Word of God. If the Word of God was translated with the mind of God in it, it would still go over your head what you would read. Because it takes the mind of the Spirit to interpret God. It doesn't take your intellect. He says, my son, sharpen your ears like an alert animal. At my sayings, let them not depart, means to turn aside at the first opportunity or to lose interest. Don't let yourself lose interest. Some Christians like the Word of God. They get excited about it. But the cares of the life have so caught them up, they put God on the shelf and say, well, that's all right. God, you can stay right there until I get this taken care of. Then I'll go back. I don't understand that mind. You don't put God on the shelf. You keep focused on the kingdom of God. You keep it focused. He says here, let them not depart. This word incline means to stretch, spread out. Literally, look at every opportunity to hear. Every opportunity to hear. Don't let anything escape you. He says, keep them, he says, here, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. This is very interesting, this word midst. It means to sever between two things, to make a severance between two things. It literally means the Word of God will come into you in such a way that when you give careful attention to it, it will begin to sever things. It'll begin to make a distinction. What is he talking about? What's of God and what's of you? It'll start making a distinction. You know how Christians can get away with abusing the Word? Because they get the mindset of God's mercy and grace. He goes on to say, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Christians that have difficulties with divine healing, difficulties with certain things in their life, it's because they have a word intake problem. Keep thine heart with all diligence. With all diligence. There's a word you don't know of nowadays. Keep thine heart with all drive-thrus. This word diligence literally means doing something with every effort. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the word issues here is a Greek word for geographical boundaries. Geographical boundaries. The Word of God is hard on addictions. The Word of God is hard on addictions because it draws lines. Now, I'm not talking about just drugs and everything, but I'm talking about things that get your life shoved out of proportion. God wants it proportioned right. He wants put a guard over my heart. I would love to do that, Lord, but you don't understand the people I got to deal with. Now, if it wasn't for the people that you have given me, I could put a watch over my heart. But they come in and they violate it all the time. What makes a person more authentic, which in turn reinforces new behavior? Turn over to Proverbs 16. Are you guys getting something here tonight? If you get mad at me, don't blame me. Go right to the source of the problem. In Proverbs 16, let's go to verses 1 through 3. The preparations of the heart in men and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Oh, I like that. Commit thy thoughts unto the Lord. Oh, I like that. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. It'll do something. If you commit your ways unto God, it'll do something with your thinking. Most people want to do something with their thinking first. Sometimes you just got to act on the Word of God, and then your thoughts are established by what you act on. That's called obedience. Now, let's jump ahead here, and let's look at some other things. Let's go to verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Talking about a man who tries to gain this world outside of integrity. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. The Lord directeth his steps. The Lord directs his steps. Listen, when people perform as they wish or they desire, the purpose of the kingdom of God will achieve nothing in their life. When you perform as you desire, the purpose of the kingdom of God will achieve nothing in your life. In Proverbs it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Another scripture said, there are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless a counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Now, go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And let's go to verse 9. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. He's finishing up a quick parable here. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Isn't that interesting? First of all, he tells us in the verse that he that has ear to hear, let him hear. Then when you go down and read these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and hear and their sins should be forgiven them. Now this was a mystery, always a mystery to me, but I got to thinking, why would you ask them to have ears to hear and then turn around and say, hey, I hope this doesn't happen? But what he was saying is the reason that things were done in parables, number one, a parable is easier to understand the heart of God. How many follow what I'm saying? And number two, when it's done in a parable, it will cause a man to search deeper. It'll cause a man to search deeper. And when he does, this could happen. Verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? This one right here. He's asking the question. And how then will you know all parables? He said, if you understand this one, you will understand all parables. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word was sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now let's stop. When they heard. Isn't that interesting? When they heard. You know, Satan is smart. He's not a dummy. He's sharp. Now, he is a total... what do you call a guy that don't understand computers? A computer illiterate. Okay. When it comes to flesh, Satan is not an illiterate. But when it comes to spiritual revelation and insight, he is an illiterate. Outside of the language that God has designed for us to communicate with God in. Glory to God. Now notice what he says here. He says, Satan cometh immediately and take away the word that was sown in their heart. Why? When they heard. This is the Greek word lambano. It means they were not seeking for the word. They weren't looking for it. They wasn't even interested in it. They just decided to show up because they wanted to see what the meeting was all about, and they happened to hear the good word of God by accident. You know, there are a lot of Christians who hear the word by accident. Some people have come to me and said, oh, man, I follow the Spirit every Sunday. I go to a different church every Sunday. And I said, well, what have you gotten from the different churches? Oh, and then what comes out of their mouth is nothing but a bunch of trash. And they think they're following the leading of God. God led you over to this church to show you some ignorance. And people by His Word don't have the only Word. I'm not saying that. But there are some Christians just, I follow the Spirit. I don't know how you can follow. You know what I get? I can buy that stuff called mixed nuts on shelves in stores. But this word for word here is really lambano. It means it just fell on and they weren't necessarily seeking for it. And you know what? Those type of people, Satan knows he can take them out. Why? All he has to do is look at them, perceive what they're made of, and bring something to their life, bring it on the plate to their life, so he can remove it. Why? Because it fell on them. They weren't really interested in doing anything with it anyway, except agree with it. How many of us have come to a church, including myself, I've done this, I come to church, I hear the good word of God, and I punch Sue and say, I hope you got that. Every time you come and you hear the word of God, take it personally. Don't you sit there and hope somebody else gets it. That means you missed it. Now notice what he says. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. What does it mean? When the word of God has fallen on them, Satan knows they're hard ground and he knows how to get rid of it. He knows how to get the word out of them. Why? They're hard ground. They're hard people to deal with. So what is he going to do? He's going to bring a little tribulation and tests and trials in their life. Why? That'll do that word. Why? Because they're hard. They're hard ground. They're not soft. They're not pliable. They're not teachable. They just hear the word of God and they're agreeing with it. When they get into a test or trial, watch out now. We're going to find out where their, agreement of the word is really working. Come on, you guys. Say an amen anyway. I'm preaching real good, ain't I? Thank you. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with God, and having no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward. With affliction or persecution of either. Notice this, for their sake. So for the word's sake. For the word's sake, because Satan's after the word in you. He wants it removed from you. Now notice this. Immediately they are offended. What's your problem, Jack? God is a liar. Why? He didn't give me what I asked for in this trial. He said he wasn't a man should lie. And that's why we turn against God, not enjoying him. The word is designed for you personally. Now notice this. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. What are the thorns? The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of rich, the desires of other things, enter in and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Chokes it out of their life. Why? By these thorns. And Satan knows that if you're hearing the good word of God, he knows that there's something in you that will distract you from that word. And so he'll do everything he can to bring a care in your life, to remove you from it. He'll do everything he can to get you into money, a deceitfulness of wealth. Why? To remove you from the word of God. He'll do whatever he can to get you out of sync with God. And the word choke literally means to squeeze one by the throat until there's no life left in him. And that's what Satan wants out of your life. Nothing left in the Word of God for living. And those thorns are in every one of us. If we don't know how to purge them from us, they'll overtake us. And these are they which are sown on good ground. This is the word God gave me when he told me, look at the fruit on your tree, Butler. And here it is. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth his fruit, some 30-fold, and some 60, and some 100. And it dawned on me what the Lord was telling me, because the word here, receive the word. They both heard the word. They both heard the word. They both heard the word. Verse 15, they heard the word of God, but they just heard it by accident. But down in verse 20, this word receive, it is paradekomai. It means that they took appropriate action. They went out of their way to see to it that they went to the Word of God so that they would sit under the Word of God and receive it to themselves personally for change. It's very interesting when you sit in service with your wife and your husband and you hear the Word of God. It's very easy, because I know I've been there. Well, I hope Sue got a hold of this. God, this is just what she needed. Man, I hope this changes her. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for preaching to her. How many of us have done that? I've seen Christians sit there and hear the Word of God and they just whacking up and they go, you know, I can't stand this church. You know, I'm so tired of him preaching at me all the time. I'm sick of it. I'm out of here. Can he ever preach anything edifying? Can't he just deal with the goodness of God? Can't he deal with more practical things? Why does he have to always do this? I'm fed up with it. I'm out of here. I sat in church and did that. I went to Sue. Bless your heart, Sue. You are so cool. I said, I'm not going back to Casey's church. She says, why? I said, he always ranks on overweight people. And Sue looked at me and there was that look in her face like this. Oh, and you don't have a problem. Casey's hard on weight. I was in his staff. You couldn't stay on staff if you didn't get rid of the pounds. I went from 220, was it, down to 180 pounds. It was the skinniest I've ever been. I looked back on the tape and said, I need Casey back. But that's the way you get. You sit there and you hear the Word of God, and you sit there and you condemn yourself rather than saying, glory to God. God, you love me. You hit me again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You love me. You're bringing correction to me. Glory. You don't think that way. You want to know why? You got you on the sacrificing block. That's why. It ain't so bad putting a scapegoat there. But when you have to put yourself there, that ain't good. Don't you all love me? Amen. Guess what? You're all going to rejoice. I'm out of time. But you know what? We're dealing with our enemy. And if we're ignorant of ourselves, our enemy can take advantage of us. And that's the whole concept of me preaching what I'm preaching to you. Because I want the Word of God to be strong in your life. Amen. Praise God. Because the Word of God is so important. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Stand up, everybody. Love you all so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And don't worry about your weight. I'm overweight too, so you can stay. Father, I thank you so much for this wonderful people that you bless me with. And I thank you, Father, for changing my heart. Causing me to love people unconditionally. Providing they work right, Father. But Father, tonight, as we now close this service this morning, Father, I ask if there be anybody here that would like to come on into the kingdom of God. They've lived in this world long enough. It's destroying them. But Father, we want them to come on into the kingdom of God and begin to have a resistance. A way of combating the thing that would want to destroy them. And it's called born again. We want to see them come into the kingdom of God and escape the onslaughts of the enemy that would destroy their life so that they could stand on their own 2 feet, learn about the glory of God in them, and offer resistance. So if there's anybody here that has never said the sinner's prayer and would like to, we want to pray with you this morning. But if you said the sinner's prayer this morning and you still are in doubt whether as to your stand with God, please get that cleared up this morning. We'll pray with you. If you've been out of fellowship with the Lord, we'd like to minister to you and get you back into full fellowship with Him. And if you have never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in that heavenly language, we want to lay hands on you as God fills you with His wonderful Spirit. So if you fit any one of these three areas, we have altar workers up here that would love to just minister to you and get you settled in those three areas, salvation, restoration, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you want, would you please step out and come forward? Anybody, feel free to do it. Don't hesitate. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. So if you're here this morning and would like us prayer in those areas, please step out and come forward. Anybody? Anybody? Hallelujah. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Amen. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ in me is the hope of glory.